say I belong to you. Apart from the things I do, you say I belong to you. I'm in awe of why you do, why you do, why you do. I'm in awe of you.
This is Corey from Bible Baptist Church in West Union, Ohio. You're listening to Here's Hope with Pastor Tim Carter. Let's listen to the message.
Psalm 109. Psalm 109 is a difficult text. It's not very long into reading this particular chapter that you figure out that this was a curse that was prayed upon Judas Iscariot, written hundreds and hundreds of years prior to Judas Iscariot ever being born and ever betraying Jesus Christ. But God's just prophetic like that. And what's prayed, especially I was concerned about our young people not getting the wrong idea about this text. But I think that you'll see as we go down through here that God is very concerned about defending his people. God, when he said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," saith the Lord, he was serious about that. And so many times we try to take matters into our own hands instead of taking a serious matter to God in prayer and letting God handle it. And I want to assure you of this, that God can handle people bothering you much better than you can ever handle them. And this matter of getting serious with God in prayer and taking our request to the Lord. Apparently David must have, because he wrote, and even though he was writing prophetically, he actually was apparently writing about circumstances that were going on with him in his day, and that there was this one particular man that was really, really giving him fits. Fits because he lied about him, and not just maybe even one, but multiple people that lied about him, misrepresented what he said, always tried to give him problems on this side and on that side. And it appears that David is about at his wit's end to know how to deal with this guy, and he turns it over to the Lord. I want to say this very cautiously. There haven't been very many times over the years that I've seen fit to deal with a matter around our church in this way, but there have been a couple of times when I got so aggravated and so frustrated after trying to do good and do right over and over and over and dealing with an individual to just go, you know what, I'm going to take this thing to the Lord and I'm going to ask God to deal with you. I know the general pattern of Jesus Christ's life was, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. And I think and I believe with all my heart that that is the road we take first as believers. That over and over we extend grace, we show mercy, we love when we're misunderstood, when we're misrepresented, when we're lied about, when we're cheated, taken advantage of. But you know, with every human being there comes a point where you get fed up and you don't know what to do any further, and you've tried everything you know to do, and you're like, you know, I'm sick of this, and this nonsense needs to cease. And I'm going to talk to God about you. And I'm going to ask God to deal with you however he seems right to fit. That's a dangerous prayer being offered up from a believer. The danger of this thing is that they say, and I'm not a big reader of John Calvin, but John Calvin talked about in his day that it was apparently common procedure for people to be able to hire Franciscan monks to pray part of the psalm as a wish of cursing upon people. You could actually hire them. They tell specifically about one lady that was having an issue with her son, and she hired a parcel, a group of Franciscan monks, and paid them to pray this cursing upon her son every day. Now, when we begin to read this, you're going to understand how bad it is, and that woman, there's no way that the Lord would answer that kind of a request from a wicked-hearted, mad, angry, bitter mother toward a son. But what I will tell you is this, is that when this prayer is offered in the right context, when it's offered with the right heart, from a person who has loved in the face of difficulty, trouble, backbiting, lying, cheating, manipulating, Our God, He hears and He knows. But the most wicked thing you could do with this is with a bad heart and out of a spirit of vengeance and hatred for someone to use the Word of God to try to accomplish your personal bidding. And God is not a genie in a bottle, and it doesn't work like that. But the Scripture has been misused over the Scriptures, even from those who would hire out people to pray this portion of this prayer, as we'll see here in just a minute. And what I'm saying is, don't you ever, ever use this. But I do know this, that in those times when I've been absolutely frustrated at wit's end and wanted to make sure that I did everything I could do right, that when I've turned a situation over to God, it wasn't very long. Psalm 109. Verse 1. Hold not thy peace, O God of my praise, for the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful are opened against me. Listen, this is factual. It's not hypothetical. It's not just his personal opinion. It was a true situation that the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful are opened against me. It's common even in our culture that people that are wicked and deceitful, that they're going to run down God's people. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. They compass me about also with words of hatred and fought against me without a cause. You stop for a moment and you say, well, what had David done against them? Well, the answer is, for my love, they are my adversaries. You ever love someone? You ever love someone with all your heart? And you always do your best to try to do them right and to love them the way you're supposed to. But what you get in return is they lie about you. They manipulate the facts. They talk about you. They're deceitful. They're hateful. And that's the situation he found himself in. In fact, this is the very situation that Jesus Christ himself found himself in dealing with Judas Iscariot. Obviously, Jesus never sinned. He had never spoken one word out of turn or done one bad thing to hurt Judas Iscariot. And how could a man hate Jesus so bad, a man that never, ever did him wrong, ever, ever? But he did, because you can't control people's hearts and you can't control people's behavior. And there are going to be people that hate you and that hate me without a cause, even when the truth is what we've given them and what we've showed to them is nothing but love. In this particular case, he says, for my love, they are my adversaries. But here's what he said I do. I give myself unto prayer. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to talk to God about you. They have rewarded me evil for good. They've rewarded me hatred for my love. Now, verse number 6, this thing gets really serious. Now, I understand that one of our great concerns is that not only today, but in the election, the upcoming election, that we get the right president, that we're going to have to deal with the repercussions of for the next 4 years. I get that. But what I also want you to understand is that one of the most righteous, divine sentences that God could give is to give a wicked people, a wicked person that's worse than they are, that would be their boss. And the unfortunate thing about our world as we continue to watch things go downhill is that we're getting just that very thing. In fact, so much so that one of these days, the devil's son, the Antichrist, if you would say, he's going to be the boss over this whole world. And this wicked world that is continuing to get wicked, they're going to be oppressed and mistreated by someone more wicked than them. And so when he begins in verse number 6 and he says, set a wicked one over them, that is, you want to treat me bad? You want to mistreat me? All I'm doing is loving you and caring about you, and you want to act like that with me? Here's what I'm going to ask God to do to you. Set someone who's more wicked than you are as your boss. And then I'm going to ask God to let Satan be at your right hand. Now, I'm telling you, this is serious prayer here. It's hard to even imagine in some ways a believer actually praying something like that. But you can tell that David was at his wit's end to know what to do in this situation. And not from a spirit of vengeance or hatred, but from a holy zeal for what's right and what's good and what's proper. See, because when people try to oppress God's representatives in the world, they are hurting God's interest. And when Judas Iscariot betrayed Jesus Christ, we know in one sense that that had to happen biblically, prophetically, because the Christ was going to be betrayed and he was going to die. But if you take a step back and think about that, about Judas Iscariot betraying Jesus Christ, that was such a bad offense that the Scripture says about him, it would have been better for him if he wouldn't even have been born. Because to be the betrayer of the Christ is up there at the top of the list. To lie about Christ, to sell him out for 30 pieces of silver. Verse number 6. See thou, set thou a wicked man over him. Let Satan stand at his right hand. In fact, it was even more so than that. The Scripture talks about Judas Iscariot. When Judas was about to betray the Christ, that Satan entered into him. And he's the only person that we know of that Satan ever personally entered into as an individual, thus gaining the name for Judas Iscariot as the son of perdition. A name that is only given one other time in Scriptures to the Antichrist, the son of perdition. You can look it up yourself. But what would you call someone that personally was indwelt by Satan? Verse 7. When he shall be judged, man, let him be sent to hell. Let him be condemned. And let his prayer become sin. Verse 8, it talks about the request to let him die soon. Let his days be few. And let another take his office. So much so is this biblically prophetic that in the book of Acts, chapter number 1, they quote this reference in the book of Psalms in regards to Judas Iscariot, that when he went out and he hung himself and he fell headlong, and when he passed away, when he died, that his bishopric or his office was given to another. This Scripture speaking prophetically about Judas Iscariot and the request, I'm telling you, this request was answered. Let his days be few, let another take his office. Verse number 9. Let his children be fatherless, and his wife a widow. Let his children be continually vagabonds and beg. Let them seek their bread also out of their desolate places. They have nothing. Let the extortioner catch all that he, this man, has, and let the stranger spoil his labor. Let there be none to extend mercy unto him, neither let there be any to favor his fatherless children. Let his posterity be cut off, and in the generation following, let their name be blotted out. Let the iniquity of his fathers be remembered with the Lord, and let not the sin of his mother be blotted out. Let them be before the Lord continually, that he may cut off the memory of them from the earth. Now, I just got to tell you, I hope that nobody that is ever walking closely to God prays that prayer about me. What do you think? I mean, this is serious stuff. So rare in the Scriptures to even see this type of an approach in dealing with somebody. So rare. And normally what you see is forgive them and let it go and let's put it behind us. And, you know, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's so rare to see someone pouring out their heart out of a holy zeal saying, Lord, let them have it. But that's what it looks like. And if you ever use this from a spirit of revenge or anger against someone that you hate, and you do it unjustly, may God reward you for that. Because that's not what this prayer is in the Scripture for. There's a reason why he would request such a thing, not just because of a vengeful spirit, but in chapter number 109, he goes on to say, this is why I would pray this. This was why I would request not only that he would pass away here before too long and that his office would be given to somebody else, that his children would grow up fatherless, but here is why I'm praying that. Verse number 16. Because that he remembered not to show mercy this guy, the guy he's praying for, the guy he's praying, God, deal with him. He says in verse 16, that he remembered not to show mercy. This guy was not a merciful person to other people. The guy he's praying for, in fact, persecuted the poor and the needy. Listen, the guy he's praying this about and against was not a good guy. Verse number 16, he persecuted the poor and the needy, that he might even slay people that had a broken heart. He didn't remember to show mercy to people that needed mercy. In verse 17, as he loved cursing, he loved to denounce evil or to wish evil upon people. The guy that he's praying this for loved to wish evil upon other people. So let it come unto him. That's divine justice. The man that wishes evil upon everybody else, Lord, let that cursing that he curses other people with, let that thing be turned back on him. As he loved cursing, so let it come unto him. As he delighted not in blessing, so let it, or the blessing, be far from him. Verse 18, as he clothed himself with cursing, like as with his garment, so let it, or cursing, come into his bowels, like water and like oil into his bones. Let it be unto him as the garment which covers him, and for a girdle wherewith he is girded continually. Let this be the reward of mine adversaries from the Lord, and of them that speak evil against my soul. Now I ask you this, if this is prophetic about Judas Iscariot's betrayal of Jesus Christ, in fact, if this in verse number 20 is actually prophetic about the enemies of Jesus Christ that day on the cross that hated him without a cause and crucified him and said, let his blood be on us and on our children, and if this prayer was heard in heaven, what would you expect? Well, you would expect exactly what happened. In AD 70, Titus came in and the authority of the Roman government and overthrew and pronounced judgment. And the Jews, these adversaries of Jesus Christ, those people were scattered all over the earth. And their children did become vagabonds in desolate places, fatherless, because they didn't have mercy for other people. Because they wanted to curse other people, because they would rather curse somebody or wish evil on them than issue a blessing. And the curse that they wished upon other people became the curse upon themselves. And they were scattered. From AD 70 to 1968, right? This was fulfilled upon them, the adversaries of Christ. And this prayer request was fulfilled upon Judas Iscariot. It's a dangerous thing to fall into the hands of the living God, the Bible says. And if there's one that you don't want to mess with, it's God. And when you mess with Jesus' children, you mess with Jesus Christ. And in verse number 20, he says, let this be the reward of mine adversaries from the Lord and them that speak evil against my soul. But now he turns his request to the Lord for himself personally. But do thou for me, O God, the Lord, for thy name's sake, because thy mercy is good, deliver thou me. For I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded within me. Jesus Christ wasn't heartbroken about all the things that were done. Here comes the God of the universe, the one that gave all us human beings life and breath, the one who wants every one of us to be saved, to repent from our sins and to be saved. And he comes to the earth and puts on a human body and he got treated like that. And he says, I am poor and needy and my heart is wounded within me. I am gone like the shadow when it declines. I am tossed up and down as the locust. My knees are weak through fasting, and my flesh faileth of fatness. I became also a reproach unto them. When they looked upon me, they shake their heads. Is that familiar? That when they looked at Jesus Christ, the Bible says that they wagged their heads. That there at the foot of the cross, at the base of the day of the crucifixion, when they would look upon Jesus Christ, and they would just walk away and they'd just be shaking their heads. Like, and Jesus said, they did that to me. I'm poor and needy. My knees are weak from fasting. My flesh fails of fatness because of his prayers to God and his concern for people. And he prays in verse 25, they that look upon me, they shake their heads. Help me, O Lord my God. O save me according to thy mercy, that they may know that this, that what's going on here, is thy hand. That thou, Lord, has done it. Let them curse, but bless thou. Lord, let them curse me and denounce evil upon me, but I'm asking you to turn that around into a blessing. Verse number 28. When they arise, let them be ashamed, but let thy servant rejoice. Let mine adversaries be clothed with shame, and let them cover themselves with their own confusion as with a mantle. And I will greatly praise the Lord with my mouth. Yea, I will praise him among the multitude. For he shall stand at the right hand of the poor. Now stop before we close this chapter out. The wicked, the ones who despise to show mercy on the poor, the ones who delight to hurt people, the ones that wish curses upon people and wish bad things upon them, the ones who persecute the poor and the needy, those are the people that their request is, let the person that lies and cheats and manipulates and hates me without a cause, let somebody evil be over them and let Satan stand at their hand. But at the end, the people that are poor in spirit and needy and that are dependent upon God, the request is that God would stand at my right hand, at my side. That God would be there, saying that God would be beside me. For he shall stand at the right hand of the poor. For what purpose would God do that? To save him from those that condemn his soul. And that's a promise. God will fight your battles. I know that in this Christian life, when we take a stand and we live for God, I know that there's a lot of people that would hate us and try to hurt us and would lie about us. I want a Christian to be the next president of the United States of America so badly. I want a good Christian that walks with God closely to be the next president of the United States. But I hate what he's going to have to go through if we ever have one like that. Because they'll dig up every piece of dirt. They'll twist every word that he says. They're going to run that man or potentially even that woman through the mill. But you know, when the world does that and the world hates us, even though we are working and trying our best to do what's right and keep our hearts right with God, we've got a God that will defend us. And could there be any more comfort than to wake up in the morning and when you walk out your front door to know that God's got your back, that God's right beside you, to know that he'll defend you, to know that he'll take care of you. And I suppose in this wicked world that we live in, that's more than enough, isn't it? And so when you have people that mistreat you, do you wrong, hurt you, my thing I'm suggesting is that you take that issue to the Lord. This part of Scripture is reserved for the worst of the worst of the worst cases, and I suppose is in some ways like communion, that we would need to be very cautious in how we make application of this Scripture in our own personal lives against people that do us wrong. Because probably prophetically this thing has already been fulfilled, but I know this. If you're doing right and your heart's right with God, he'll take care of you. Trust him. Just trust him. And why are you trying to fight a battle that God wants to take care of for you?
You've been listening to Here's Hope, a ministry of Bible Baptist Church. Check us out online at hearshope.org. You can contact us by writing to Bible Baptist Church, P.O. Box 487, West Union, Ohio 45693, or by calling us at 937-544-1818. If you don't already attend another church, we'd love for you to give us a try. Thanks for listening, and we hope you have a great week.
You say I belong to you. Apart from the things I do, you say I belong to you. I'm in awe of what you do. You do, you do, you do. What have I done to deserve your son? Sent to die for me. What can I give? I want to live. Give me eyes to see. In a world that keeps changing, there's one thing I know is true. Your love is staying. There's nothing else I hold on to. You say I belong to you. Apart from the things I do, you say I belong to you. I'm in awe. Why you do? Why you do? You say I belong to you. Apart from the things I do, you say I belong to you.
Jesus.